Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I'm obsessed with this game. Enough is never enough. It's about taking it to another level. The only direction is to rise.
Everybody in their opinions, they don't deposit at the bank.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Key, J, good morning. Good morning.
What it do, baby?
What's popping, Key?
Hey, man, I'm trying to turn this audio thingy off.
Audio thingy? What kind of, what's an audio thingy? What are you talking about?
Hold on, man. Calm down.
Are you referring to your iPhone?
You're looking at your phone like you need some bifocals on, man. With
no, because I'm trying to pay attention. I was trying to turn my phone off because I clicked onto the audio because they sent me a tweet or something, and I was trying to hear what the people were saying because I didn't understand it, but yeah.
Be careful with all, be careful with all those links.
No. It was from
the phone
us.
Going
it
back,
was,
I can't.
No, it was from us. It had something to do with something about somebody hating on me for wanting the football or something. I don't know. You got to look at your phone, Jay.
Let me translate this for you, Key.
At some point in your career, Key, you should have just asked for the damn ball, you know?
Yeah,
at some point in your career.
Yeah, somebody wanted you guys to ask me about just give me the damn ball or something.
Yeah. I don't know why you never asked.
Jay, you know how to read this stuff. Read it, man.
I don't know why you never asked for the ball.
Real Jay Will and
yeah, let me do some due diligence here, and I'll come back to you guys once I have it confirmed.
So, meantime, we've had a lively show today. Earlier in the show,
hit you with a politically correct answer, Key, real quick for you.
I co-opted Key's Real Rankings. It was still Key's Real Rankings. I like the brand of that. He tried to turn it into Max's Real Rankings, but I want to pin this on Key. Key's Real Rankings, but I did them. The top five teams best set up to win for the next 5 years in the NFL. And so I really focused on quarterbacks, especially if they're with coaches, or I think they might be with coaches, like Justin Herbert and the Chargers at five, because I think maybe Sean Payton will be there. The Bengals with Joe Burrow at four, already been to a Super Bowl at three. The Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts and them, they're stacked on both sides of the ball. They have a real good front office and a promising coach. The Bills at two, we all know about that, and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen everything they got going on there, coaching and front office included, and the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. Look at the track record and the age of Patrick Mahomes. He's set up there, the whole thing.
Key, you should see Max's body tingle when he says the name Justin Herbert. It just tingles.
Where do you think Justin Herbert ranks for me, Jay? Do you think he's
one? He's the number one quarterback outside of Patrick Mahomes. In fact, he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes one. There's
who
no
do
doubt.
I have? Who's my
Since
second?
Since I've known you for now, you're Patrick Mahomes
who's
number
Who's my second
one.
Favorite?
I would probably say second favorite. Probably be Joe Burrow.
Yes, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
And then it would probably be Justin Herbert.
Yes, you got
I'm with him. I know this guy.
You got
like,
it. You got it. All right, listen.
You have allowed him to bamboozle you again.
No. He's asked me who I think his top quarterbacks are, not who mine are.
You don't listen to him clearly. And you forgot what he has said in the past, one or the other, because he has certainly said that he would take Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes.
Never.
He has said that many times.
Never said that one time.
Oh my God, Max, I'm going to make them go dig it up and we're going to have it tomorrow.
Dig it up. I may have said.
Why are you so slick?
That was a quick
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about. I may have said a year ago when Herbert was years out from being paid that if you had to start a franchise, you're taking Herbert because he's on his rookie deal and Mahomes isn't.
I do remember you going on some tangents about
But I've never had anyone ahead of Mahomes, never.
Would you like to chime
future,
in here?
The future of both, like who would you take to start your franchise right now?
Mahomes, because Herbert's now about to get paid.
Yeah, I'm not.
See, when Herbert wasn't going to get, but you have to pay attention to the details.
He did this to you.
No.
You slipped.
James, is that, can you confirm, James?
Listen, I remember Max saying that Justin Herbert is the best football player in the NFL.
Never said that. I just never said it.
Wildly untrue.
But I like how I'm getting
credit.
I said that like Jay is 5'9". You know, stop it, everybody. All right, listen. Listen. So this. So
don't try to deflect it. Oh my God.
Listen, I want to get any faster. You're going to be like time traveling back in time.
I've never put anyone ahead of
back to the future.
So here's the thing.
He's so slick, man. Go ahead.
One organization that Key brought up as belonging on the list potentially is the Jets. I don't know about Zach Wilson, but he likes a lot of the other stuff. Another organization that I considered putting on the list, because that's how much confidence I have in the front office and that's how much I like the coach this early on in his tenure, certainly is very successful as an offensive coordinator, the New York Giants. That's the team I root for.
Yeah.
I didn't put either on the list because you don't know about Daniel Jones really until you get him an alpha receiver. They have not done that. Let's see what happens. And the Jets, I don't believe in their organization at this point to the extent that I believe in the Giants. But
The difference, though, with the Jets and the Giants, you're going to have more turnover over the next 5 years for the Giants than you are for the Jets. The Jets
personnel,
have
yeah.
their young core of players. They've got them. They've got a lot of them, and they're doing well now. The quarterback, obviously, is still to be determined. The Giants, on the other hand, they've got to figure out, do they want to go address the receiver position? They're going to have to address the secondary at some point in time. They're going to have to address the front defensive line at some point in time. You know, that they got some work to do for sure. Over the next 5 years.
Although the Giants do have good bookend tackles. They may have a quarterback, right? And they have a coach who do you like better, the Giants or the Jets coach, guys?
Well, I mean, Robert Saleh certainly have turned things around.
Yep.
I wanted Saleh to coach the Giants. I like Brian Daboll originally. Better, personally. Mm-hmm. Here's the only, and I would agree that I think the Jets are better positioned with the talent that they have currently on the roster. The one hiccup I have with the Jets, though, as relates to Joe Douglas, is the rest of the talent, great. But that talent that he really swung for and Zach Wilson, I'm not sure about that. That's a questionable decision for me. And that's a big decision, Key. So that kind of leaves me, I'm like, ah.
Which organization is better set up to succeed over the next 5 years? All that concern, Jay, who's better set up for the next 5 years?
Jets are.
Jets are. And Key?
I think right now, talent-wise, the Jets are, except I don't know about the quarterback. I say the coaches are even to me right now. That's what I would say, and I would probably say the Jets based on that.
I would say the Giants.
There's going to be a lot of turnover with the Giants. It's just.
I agree,
be a lot.
But Keith, the setup, starting with the front office, I'm not saying the Jets, they haven't done a good job acquiring talent. If someone said to me right now, and I know the information's incomplete, but if I had to choose, I'm being honest about this, I'll take the Giants front office, and I'll take the Giants coach. And Saleh's the guy I wanted to coach the Giants originally.
How could you take the Giants front office over the Jets front office when Joe Douglas has done nothing but tremendous moves? I mean, he flipped Jamal Adams for two ones. And Jamal Adams, I don't think he's played nine games.
Because he's had the job longer and the Jets are still okay, right? He's had the job longer. And as Jay said, the number one job is identifying the quarterback.
Hey, coach, he hit the ground running.
Yeah.
With the Jamal Adams
he's made good
trade.
Moves. That's why I said it's incomplete. But I'm just saying, Keith, for me, if Douglas was available and Shane was available, based on what I know, and I admit it's an incomplete grade on Shane, but I have to choose one, I'll take Shane. I'll take him based on what I've seen. I can't prove it. I'm just saying. So I mean, like the front office. I like the coach a lot. And I don't know about the quarterback, but I feel better about Daniel Jones than Zach Wilson right now.
I mean, if you look, but
you can get a quarterback to replace Zach Wilson of high caliber. Because you still
got to draft up high. The Jets might be too talented for that.
Well, no, I'm not even talking about a draft situation. Maybe you take a guy who is a free agent. Maybe you grab a Kirk Cousins type that's out there in the world. And with all that talent around him.
Man, Lamar Jackson, maybe.
Kirk has a lot of talent around him right now in Minnesota, man.
Kirk Cousins lost one game this year, man. Y'all need to stop.
I know he's good. What are you talking about, y'all need to stop? I was the one that picked him to win the division, and you're like, nah, it's Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins a top 10 quarterback, Keith?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying. All I'm saying is he's with a team that has one loss on their resume. And if you can find a guy like that, maybe that is the recipe for success.
On a talented team and this and that, maybe you could get done. But
maybe Daniel Jones goes to the Jets. Now what?
You'd rather have Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins?
Daniel Jones.
I would rather have Daniel Jones.
I probably would rather have Kirk Cousins right now.
The next 5 years?
Well, that's
he'll be 100 years old.
We're asking about the next 5 years.
That's why
we're asking. That's the question.
Well, I would probably take Daniel Jones next 5 years.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, the Giants' floor, as Mike Tannenbaum has said, I find myself quoting him quite a bit, the Giants' floor is good. With Daniel Jones and this coaching staff, their floor is good. Now, the ceiling is a question, but we really can't answer that till they put something around him at receiver, right? The Jets already got the receivers. They got to find out about the quarterback. Can he get it done?
It's hard for me to think that you will be objective in this question due to your diehard Giant loyalty.
But if the I was feeling bad about the Giants, I would let them have it and say, hey, the Jets are better set up. I said the Jets were better set up a year or two ago. I don't feel that way anymore.
I don't know, man. Like, if you're saying Joe Shane, like, let's do Shane and Douglas. Like, yeah, Joe Shane could have higher upside, maybe, but like, Joe Douglas has done a tremendous job. I say could. I didn't say he has. I think Joe Douglas wins that one-on-one competition.
Had a great draft this year.
He wins it. So let's go. That's GM for me. Let's go to coach, right? Brian Daboll. You talk about what you have on the Jets side. Like, Robert Saleh, that's even if you want to call that a split. You like Daniel Jones. What'd you say, Key?
I said that's pretty much a wash.
That's a wash, okay.
Where you're at right
now. Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson. You're saying Daniel Jones. Okay. Like the rest of the draft picks, though, for the Jets, like that's a win.
Yeah, they got a lot of talent.
They have a lot of
talent.
Jets
are a more talented team. I'm not denying.
So what you're saying, you're betting on the upside.
But I'm debating.
What do you think Joe Shane can do with the team more than what the Jets have currently?
To me, those talented players who aren't quarterbacks are acquirable. But I like the architecture of the Giants a little better, including, by the way, the bookends at tackle. They're building it the way I would fantasize building a team, right? You get those bookend tackles. Now next draft, you add to the offensive line. You go get a pass rusher. You do all these things while you get an alpha receiver to find out about the quarterback. But I like what I've seen.
The Jets have already done that, though.
Yeah, but why aren't they better than they are then?
Because of the quarterback and the style of play.
What are they, 5-2?
They're fifth in the AFC. Why are they not better?
Where are they? They're both third, I would say, in their divisions, right?
They beat quality opponents just like the Giants beat a couple quality opponents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Giants are year one of this, Key. The Jets are year what now?
Year
four?
Year two.
Year three? No. How long Douglas been the GM?
You mean from a Douglas standpoint?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking
about
why?
He's been there the whole time. It's his team.
I'm talking about the head coach got to coach the players. That's what I'm talking about.
But Key, when you talk about
it, fifth in the AFC, fifth in the conference.
Right.
So then when you said how good are they? They're fifth.
They're the third best team in their division. Right? Wouldn't you say that's pretty
fair to
say?
And the Giants are the third best team in their division.
Or fourth. Are they third or fourth?
They're third.
No. The Jets. Are they the third best or fourth best team? They're better than the Patriots because they just got beaten by the Patriots.
I think
but that's
than
okay.
They're
third.
I think so too.
Their record says
I think,
they're third.
I mean, saying I know what their record says. I'm saying by the end of this season, I think they'll be the third best team in their division. But they should be farther along in the process than they are, given the GM's been there for a while.
That's why I said they missed on the quarterback.
The quarterback is the big miss that makes me worried about it.
The Giants GM got there this year, inherited a mess, and got them at 6-2.
They got veteran players on the Giants. Veterans. They got puppies on the Jets, Max. Those dudes are young. They got a starting corner that was just walking down trying to find a library at Cincinnati.
If you're talking about...
They got a quarterback that didn't even really play last year. They had a running back in Breece Hall that didn't know how to get to the airport. They got another receiver in Garrett Wilson that was trying to fight for a national championship a year ago. Like, what? I don't understand.
If you're talking about the organization, you have to compare it first at the front offices to know what year you're in. Joe Douglas got there in 2019. Joe Shane just got there, which means Joe Douglas had a three-year head start on Shane. Now, I know there's COVID, there are extenuating circumstances, things were upside down. Joe Douglas, I get it. He's done a good job. But he has a head start on Shane by a lot, and they have a more talented team, but they're sitting in the exact same place. Third best team in their divisions. Right? 6-2, 5-3. Like, I'm saying I like what the Giants have done. They're ahead of schedule more than the Jets are. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't, like, you know, last couple of years, I'm like, Jets have a better future than the Giants. I was killing Gettleman, the whole thing. I don't feel that way anymore. I love the new regime.
You shouldn't feel that way. They're going in the right direction, but you're minimizing the New York Jets.
Well, that happily, I can do both at the same time.
And that's why Jay says we can't talk to you because you're not objective.
888-SAY-ESPN. Well, that's clearly true. 888-729-3776.
Oh, I got the answer. We'll talk about that coming up.
You know what? I'm perfectly objective. Let's bring in someone else who'll be totally objective about this. Former two-time Super Bowl champion and defensive end for my beloved New York football Giants, O.C. Umenyiora. What's up, O.C.? I don't know if O.C. can hear us. That doesn't look like he can. While we get that worked out, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, which team is better set up for the next 5 years? Which surprise team, the Giants or the Jets? The Jets, who have a 5-3 record in year three of Joe Douglas's tenure? Or the Giants, who have a 6-2 record in year one of Joe Shane's taking over for Gettleman's mess? Who's better set up for the next 5 years while we're working on O.C. Umenyiora's audio? By the way, all that said, guys, Key, who's better set up for the next 5 years? You never answered that.
Well, I did answer it. I said the Jets.
But then you said, well, they could bring in a veteran quarterback if Zach Wilson doesn't work out.
The setup for me is the young talent. There's going to be a lot of turnover with the New York Giants. There's not going to be a ton of turnover with the Jets because they already got pieces in play.
Let's see what O.C.
Why are you raising your hand like you in
school? Well, because I was going to...
OC's audios.
Yes, I was going to dig into what we had talked about at the beginning of the show about what Wayne Corbett had said. But
oh,
I was waiting.
Yeah, go ahead.
I finally got it, but now you're telling me that O.C. is ready. So if O.C. is ready...
O.C., can you hear us?
There you go.
Well, well, well. What do we have here?
What's
Max,
up, O.C.,
Keyshawn, man? And Jay Will.
That's
my
right.
Peoples. What is going on, man? How you guys doing?
What's up, O.C.?
What's up, brother?
First of all,
as Jay Will would say.
Yeah, first of all, as anytime a Giants Super Bowl champion comes on this show, first I just want to say thank you. Thank you for two of the best days of my life. Those two days are way, way, way up there in my entire life. Which organization, OC, is closer to competing for a Super Bowl, the Giants or the Jets?
I think you have to talk about the New York Giants here. I mean, is that even a question? What am I going to say, the Jets? Am I going to say the Jets are closer to competing for a Super Bowl? Of course not, it's the Giants. Look at the way this football team is coached. You look at their general manager. You look at the pieces that they have in place. I believe Daniel Jones is going to be a great quarterback. Of course it's going to be the New York Giants.
There it is. That's totally objective. Me and O.C. Umenyiora, guys.
O.C., what's the most impressive thing about the Giants' 6-2 start thus far?
I have to say it's the coaching. I do. I mean, you look at the players that they have on this roster, they do have some good football players. But I do remember a couple of games in now, I think the New York Giants were playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were down a couple of points. And I was thinking to myself as I was watching the game, I was like, oh, the Giants are going to win this game. And this is something you really haven't thought about the Giants for the past couple of years, right? Whenever in that situation, they usually lose. So right now, you can see that they're very, very well coached. They believe in themselves. They believe in their coaches. They believe in each other. Right now, everything is coming together very, very well for that football team.
So, see, I sit there and I watch the offense and I say, damn, Saquon is prolific. Daniel Jones is talented. Like, we're still working through challenges with Kenny Galladay and obviously making the trade for Kadarius Toney on the offensive end, right? But I see the potential. Take me through what the potential is on the defensive end. How good can this team's defense and what is their ceiling? What can it be?
Well, you look at the defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale. He's been doing it in the league for a really long time. He has this team firing on all cylinders. I think against the run, they're not where they need to be, but they're getting better. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams coming back. This is a fantastic football front. You look at what they're doing on the outside. Azeez Ojulari coming back. Maybe Kayvon Thibodeau. Kayvon is, quite frankly, one of the highest effort, one of the best rookies in football right now. So if you look at them there in the back end, they're good. Adoree Jackson, Xavier McKinney, they have really good football players all over the football field. They're well coached. As soon as this team puts it together, they're going to take it to the next level.
O.C., I was thinking about you, talking to O.C. Umenyiora here on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, two-time Super Bowl champ, sack master. All right, listen, hey, O.C., I was thinking about you because earlier this season, Evan Neal, you know, they draft him high up in the first round. They put him in at right tackle. He gets abused, right, early in the season. Yeah. And they're just, who was it against? They were just killing him. And I thought of you because I remember Winston Justice's first start, and he's facing O.C. Umenyiora coming off the edge. And I want to say you got six sacks, probably five of them were on Winston Justice, right? But Evan, what do you, that doesn't mean anything about the quality of the guy you drafted. He's just young. What have you seen from Evan Neal that you know, before we even get to Thibodeau, that draft pick and what his potential is?
Really good football player. Quite frankly, he's performed even better than I imagined. I think a lot of times you see a rookie offensive lineman taken that high in the draft. You're like, oh, yes, he's supposed to be a dominant football player. But very few offensive tackles come into the league ready for the level of pass rushers you have in. I think maybe a Jonathan Ogden or Orlando Pace. Those are the only two that I can think of who really come in that ready. Even if you look at Andrew Thomas on the other side, his rookie, I think they talk about that he might have given up 10 sacks or whatever, but now he's the best offensive tackle in football, right? So very few come in with the level of pass rushing or the ability to stop these pass rushers. So overall, you see him improving every single week. I think he's going to be an outstanding bookend for Andrew Thomas going forward.
Mm. Oh, see, when you look at this division as a whole, the Philadelphia Eagles are in action tonight against the Houston Texans. Are they the best team in the NFL? And if not, who is then? Because they're undefeated.
Don't say it. I think I'm not going to say it out loud. That team that is an hour down the street from New York. Is probably playing the best football right now. I think when you look at them offensively, I think Jalen Hurts playing well, that running game fantastic, and then they have the wide receiving weapons to really stretch the football field. And then defensively, I think the addition of Robert Quinn is going to do wonders for this team, because I think that might have been where they were really lacking, is that edge pressure, even though they do have some really good defensive ends. Overall, I don't see a team right now that is built fundamentally from top to bottom better than that team that's an hour way down from the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, that's exactly the way you see. That's the way you give them love. You don't say their name out loud. Oh, see, and I, but like this is what good teams are able to do, though, right? Like, you go out and you get somebody like the relationship that Jalen Hurts has been able to have with AJ Brown. You're like, damn, that's what getting a top flight wide receiver can do for. And then you have him working with the younger prospect, right, and Devontae Smith, and how they come up together. And I think that's when you see the Giants and you see the mobility of Daniel Jones, you're like, oh, we just had something like that. Like, that's the additional piece on top of where the defense is going. That, like, that's the missing link for this unit.
Yeah, no question about that, man. What I find really interesting is you look at a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. I think he's a talented football player, right? And even if you look at a Daniel Jones, yeah, he's a talented football player, right? But if Brian Daboll doesn't come to the New York Giants, and if Nick Sirianni isn't with the Philadelphia Eagles, what are these two quarterbacks? You know, these guys really tailored their entire system around these players, and it's proven dividends. So a lot of times when we look at players and we want to trash them and we want to, you know, push them in the dumps, I think we got to look at the coaching staff and look at, you know, what these coaches are able to do for these players and putting them in position to succeed, because that's what I think we're seeing in Philadelphia and in New York right now.
So Max Kellerman came out with his list, OC, about, you know, here are his top five teams that he thinks for the next 5 years have the best outlook, right? And a lot of them were around quarterbacks. Mm. He had, like, the Chargers because of, you know, the
Chargers, Bengals, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs. One.
He did
Chiefs
not have the Cowboys, and it turned into a spirited debate. Do you think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in the next 5 years will be contending for Super Bowls?
They keep that defense firing the way it is. Absolutely, they're going to be contending. And I think have we ever seen anything like? Well, we have
since
seen
LT.
Something like that before,
right?
Yeah. Just ridiculous. And then you look at their defensive line coach, Adam Dirty, who's my main guy, who came out of here from the UKYM right now. He's got that defensive line on fire. Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator, fantastic job he's doing over there. So I think if their defense, if they're playing the way that they are, they keep their running game playing well, I think you have to say they're going to be in the conversation for sure.
Said two positive that things about two Parsons. NFC East opponents.
I know. Really the Giants have to be in the – by the way, the AFC East, too. The Giants and Jets are in murderous divisions right now. AFC East, too, what Miami just did with the Bills. By the way, who's in a tougher division, AFC East or NFC East? That's another question we'll get to another day with OC Umanyora. OC, while you're here, quickly, I need a commitment for you to come back soon. When's the next time we're getting you on the show?
You guys let me know whenever. I mean, Max, I haven't spoken to you since 2008. I don't know what's going on, man. It's been a long time since we've had a conversation.
I know.
So I'm just happy to be talking to you. You just let me know. I'll be here.
Love me some OCU Manura. Thanks, champ. Two-time Super Bowl champion, OCU Manura. So we had a guy.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, OC. We had a guy who wrote a book about wanting the damn ball.
What?
And that don't work.
What?
Who said that?
What?
And we'll let Key respond.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Such a good song right here. Many men.
On Sunday, guys, Elijah Moore was asked about his chemistry with quarterback Zach Wilson. He said, and this is a quote, I don't even know. Couldn't even tell you. I don't get the ball. I don't know.
I got my popcorn ready, Key.
That's pretty good.
I'm just sitting there waiting.
So when talking about Elijah Moore, former Jets fullback Tony Richardson said this on the Gang's All Here podcast.
To make comments like that after a game,
tough.
But there's no reason to do that. Air your stuff out with the coaches. Air it out in the locker room. Don't do that in the media because that's – and I know for a fact Wayne wouldn't do that. We had a receiver. We did throw me the damn ball. We had a guy who did that. You can't win football games like that.
The squad we had, though, was when we did our best. I mean, Curtis, we never asked. It was me, Lavernia, Santana. Yeah. We were happy when our teammates were doing well. And it was almost like, can you top this?
The receiver you're talking about is Keyshawn you were talking about before?
No, I'm not.
Who was the one you were just talking about before?
Well, we know who wrote a book that said throw me the damn ball. Who did that? Who was it?
Yeah, there was a book.
Yeah.
Was it Keyshawn?
Yeah, that was by a guy by the name of Keyshawn. Yeah, yeah. But I'm not calling him out because he wanted the ball. He probably needed the ball, but I'm just saying, for me personally, I just want guys just to show up and go to work.
Wayne Chrebet. He was talking to
Backtrack now. You say
Tony Richardson and Wayne Chrebet, two of your former teammates.
Well, first of all, Tony Richardson is not a former teammate of mine. I never played with him a day in my life. Okay, so
he seems to be under the impression that he did.
You may want to check the roster, but as far as I know, my fullbacks was Keith Byers and Lorenzo Neal, and we used a tight end every now and then on wham blocks. So,
Key, I better not hear years from now, I never did a show with Max Kellerman or Jay Will ever. What are you talking about?
And on top of that, let me say something. First of all, Elijah Moore and Keyshawn Johnson are two different people. Elijah Moore was winning football games and talking about them not using him and getting the football. God damn it, we was 1-15 when I wrote a book. And guess what? Bill Parcells came in, and Bill Parcells gave me the football, and we went to the AFC Championship game. And Tony Dungy and John Gruden gave me the football, and we won a Super Bowl in Tampa. So I don't want to hear nothing about this whole give me the damn ball. See, because Jay, you know me, I don't even respond to people that have negative things to say about the way I played football and approached it in my career. Okay? But I'm going to defend myself for the first time really in a long time. I know what I did in the league. I know what I brought to the table and on the team. And so I don't want Mr. Tony Richardson backtracking. You want your name to trend and you want that podcast to be successful? Well, you're going to get it now. You're going to get all the smoke you can handle from KJM, from Keyshawn Johnson, not Max Kellerman, and not Jay Will. When you speak of me in the truth. Don't speak of me as some fictitious narrative that's set out there because you never played with me. You never, ever. You may have played in a Pro Bowl with me, maybe, if I can remember that. And we may have had a conversation through passing for a hot minute. But Elijah Moore is asking for the football when you're winning. Okay, as I said a week ago, you might not want to do that. If you're losing and you can help the team, I have no issues with that. We was 1-15. They drafted me as the number one overall pick for a reason. Bill Parcells, Charlie Weiss, Dan Henning, Mo Carthon, Todd Haley, they realized that. So guess what they did? They gave me the damn ball. Okay, I went to Pro Bowls. I led us to AFC Championship games. I did my job. I don't understand why people have these narratives about I was running around asking for the ball. No, I wrote a book. That was the title of a book. Okay? And if you read the book and pick it up, you won't fall into the category like everybody else. And it is a good book if you read it. It tells you about the history of me growing up, where, how I got to play in the NFL, all those sort of things. So I just want to say that, you know. And Lavernius Coles, I never played with Lavernius Coles. I never played with Santana Moss. I played with Wayne. And Wayne got the football, too. And Wayne got the football because I was on the field getting the double coverages and allowing him to get open.
Yeah, you and Wayne are a good combination.
Let's not trip. And he did a good job, and we blocked for one another, and we had a good time when we played against one another. That's it. I mean,
AK,
I don't, you know.
Let's be very clear about this.
Bing bong. Mm-hmm.
Elijah Moore chirped when they were winning. He chirped
Absolutely.
About not getting the ball
Absolutely.
When they were winning. You
Absolutely.
Chirped about not getting the ball when you were 1-15.
1-15.
Then you had Bill Parcells come in, and as soon as you blink, he gets you the ball, and you're in the AFC Championship game. So you're
okay.
drawing the line about talking about get me the ball if you're not getting the ball and you're losing. That's the issue.
Yeah. That's always going to be the issue.
Yep.
That's always the issue.
I have a question, though. You know
but
me.
I ain't played with Tony Richardson, so I just want to put that out there.
I have a question. I have a question. And you know me.
Yes.
I just
What's
ask
up,
questions.
Coach?
I'm like, I'm kind of just shocked that Corbett let him talk that way, though.
He's trying to stir up.
What
I'm
you
not,
mean? Kid.
I'm not. Like,
what you mean?
If I was a teammate and somebody started talking about my team, I'd be like, yo, you need to slow down, man. You need to slow down.
Jay. Well, everybody I'm just views you, their teammates different, right?
Yeah,
we've had a number of my former teammates come on this show and tell you who I was and what I was about
right.
and how demanding I was and all of the sort of things. But I came to the stadium and I brought my hard hat and my backpack and I went to work.
Understood.
It wasn't nothing else to be said. Every single one, including coaches that come on our show, will tell you that. So I don't have a problem with Wayne letting Tony talk. I wish he would have said, well, wait a minute, Tony, you didn't play with Keyshawn. I wish he'd have said that to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what made him think he played with me.
So also
on top of that, wait a minute, here's one for you. I left the Jets. It took over a decade for them to give number 19 out. I'll rest my case.
Also, just a little bit more context. I had to cut that down, obviously. We can't play like 4 minutes of it. Wayne Corbett did bring up the same point that you have been bringing up, is that
okay,
Elijah Moore is doing it while they're winning.
Good.
And it would be different if he was doing it if they were 0-5 and he thought they could help.
But so, see, what happens, it's this, Max?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens, Max and Jay and James and Allen, you get people always talking about my career and who I was. That ain't never even talked to me. They don't know me. Looking at stuff from afar, thinking that they know something about me. It's the craziest thing ever, man. It's the wildest thing ever.
Maybe you should appreciate Tony Richardson for blocking for you a little bit more. Oh, you never played with him. All right.
Take that with your podcast. Y'all going to be famous now.
I kind of want to hear the audio again. Can you play the... Hey, James, is it possible to clip the audio where Wing was defending Key so we can listen to that?
I had to cut everything down. Maybe it's going to take me a minute. Don't listen to Max. I told you what he said, and Wayne Corbett stayed out of that part of the conversation pretty much, and his... What he added was what Key has been saying. It's different whenever you're doing it when you're winning.
Any other imaginary teammates of Key ready to come at him today?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So Bryce Harper, guys, when he was coming up, was like the phenom, right? He's supposed to be the best ever and all this. And then he comes out at the same time as Mike Trout. And it turns out Trout, who was not didn't have the same kind of hype, is the best player ever. Right, every year he's the greatest player ever at his age in the history of baseball. Now he's been in the league 10 years, something like that. Maybe he's just the best player ever. Aaron Judge sets all the home run record this year and all that. But guys, Mike Trout's been in the postseason one time and he fizzled. Shohei Ohtani, it sounds like he wants out of Anaheim because they don't win a lot of games. And Aaron Judge didn't get to the World Series. Meantime, here's Bryce Harper, already won two MVPs. Even if his regular season's Key aren't on par with Aaron Judge or Mike Trout's, they've had some great seasons to win two MVPs. And now he's hitting home runs in the postseason. Is he the face of baseball?
You know, he could have been the face. I don't think he is. I think it's still, for me and my money, it's Ohtani, it's Mookie Betts, or it's Aaron Judge. Betts has cooled off a little bit, but Aaron Judge is red hot, and Ohtani is even super hot. But he plays in Orange County, not in Los Angeles in Chavez Ravine. And Judge is a guy who, you know, he's huge, he's big, he's tall, he's 280 pounds. If he's standing next to me in Starbucks, I certainly would know who he is. Mike Trout, on the other hand, who is that? And Bryce Harper, I know him because of the hair. The hair always gets me because it's just nice and long and silky, and he likes to shake it every now and then. So he's a guy, if he played in a different city, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., New York, Boston, I would certainly say he would be the face of baseball.
You see, one of the reasons why I don't think he's the face of baseball is I actually think it's interesting. When guys do monumental things during the regular season, almost like the staying power that they have visibility-wise, it feels like that is more valuable than having just success in the World Series for some reason, unless you're in a really big market. Like, the staying power for Aaron Judge, his face was everywhere this entire season.
It's a 162-game season.
That's all we spoke about.
I think people recognize, like, football, basketball, you run your best plays through your best players. In baseball, Judge can come up when his spot comes up in the lineup. That's it, right? So I think people recognize that it's not the same. But even so, Jay, Judge wasn't hitting in the playoffs, in the ALCS, in the ALDS. And Bryce Harper's hitting in the World Series. It does make a difference. Make the lights are shining. You're right. It doesn't cancel out 162 or outweigh it. But put it this way. So it can put you over the top.
All right. So if Bryce Harper wins a World Series, like who do you think will be more famous, Aaron Judge or Bryce Harper?
Close.
I think it'd be Aaron Judge.
Close. Probably still Judge. Probably still Judge. But I would have to say the face of baseball might be Harper at that point if he wins World Series MVP.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, Max, boy, you take the long route to everything.
There was a story behind it. It was a good
race. Oh, God,
This morning, I was told it was plus eight when it was really minus eight. And then someone on Twitter brought it to my attention.
All you got to do is say, hey, I had something at 4:30 in the morning. It was plus eight, and now I realize it's really minus eight, and we go on. You
want to
give us a whole...
The best part, though, Max is looking for the tweet real time, like on Twitter, while he was trying to make the point and couldn't find it.
It's worse than that, Jay. It's worse than that. I forgot how to get to the mentions. It's not that I couldn't find it. I was like, wait a minute. This is not where is it? Where's the part where it says
scrolling?
Max is, like I said, he's the guy in the highway on the FDR who's trying to get to the West Side Highway, but he goes all, he's right there. All he do is go this way. He goes all the way down to like 42nd Street and cross all the way over to come all the way back down to get into the tunnel. Like, what are you doing?
We're building.
We're building. What's Tony Richardson doing? That's the question, Key. Don't put this on me. On Sunday, Elijah Moore was asked about his chemistry with quarterback Zach Wilson. He said, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. I don't get the ball. I don't know. So, listen, that becomes a thing about receivers wanting the ball. And so who does everyone think of immediately? The guy who wrote the book. Just throw me the damn ball, right? So former Jets fullback Tony Richardson was
played in 2008. I think I might have been retired.
So he was talking to Wayne Krabet, who certainly played with Key. You and Wayne made a good combination at receiver on the Jets, and you guys went to the AFC Championship game. So he said this to Wayne Krabet on the Gang's All Here podcast. Listen.
To make comments like that after a game.
Stuff.
But there's no reason to do that. Air your stuff out with the coaches. Air it out in the locker room. Don't do that in the media because that's so. And I know for a fact Wayne wouldn't do that. We had a receiver. We did throw me the damn ball. We had a guy who did that. You can't win football games like that.
The squad we had, though, was when we did our best. I mean, Curtis, we never had. It was me, Lavernia, Santana. Yeah. We were happy when our teammates were doing well. And it was almost like, can you top this?
The receiver you're talking about is Keyshawn you were talking about before?
No, I'm not.
Who was the one you were just talking about before?
Well, we know who wrote a book that said, throw me the damn ball. Who did that? Who was it? That was a book, yeah.
Was it Keyshawn?
Yeah, that was by a guy by the name of Keyshawn, yeah. But I'm not calling him out because he wanted the ball. He probably needed the ball, but I'm just saying, for me personally, I just want guys just to show up and go to work.
Yeah, well, he probably didn't play with any teammates that when they got the ball and they wanted the ball, they got the ball, they delivered and delivered it in a big way. That's why the coaches kept giving them the damn ball. And I think when you look at Elijah Moore a couple weeks ago, he talked about wanting to be traded because he wasn't being utilized and he couldn't understand that. But they're winning. Okay, when you are 1-15, And you wrote a book, and the title is just give me the damn ball. You wasn't drafted to be a cardboard cutout. You were drafted so you can get the team to a Super Bowl, so you can be utilized at the highest level by Hall of Fame coaches. We get Bill Parcells. All of a sudden, we go from 1-15 to 9-7 to an AFC Championship game. okay? I now go to Pro Bowls. I help my teammates also flourish. But I couldn't do that in 96 when I wasn't getting the ball, standing around like a cardboard cutout, because I had incompetent coaches that drafted me but didn't know how to utilize me. So obviously you should ask for the football. You should demand certain things. Why wouldn't you? It makes zero sense.
Maybe again, if you just hadn't have opened your mouth, Richie Kotite wouldn't have been 1-15. Maybe it was your fault, Keith.
But Keith, you know what I it's he didn't really want to say it, which is like fascinating, right? Like you saw him teetering with it because he said, yeah, I know, guy wrote a book, blah, blah. And then when he got asked the question, like, if you're going to say something, you have to own it now. The guy was like, so, like, are you talking about Keyshawn? He's like, no. And then like, he got talking to finally owning it. You know what I mean?
He was
scared to go there in the first place, Key.
I'm the only dude in the history of the National Football League that ever wrote a book. It still lives on, okay? The title of the book still lives on.
That's true.
People use the reference all the time.
One of the most famous football books ever written in terms of the title, Just Throw Me the Damn Ball, is way, like I'm thinking of like in baseball, there's Ball 4 or the Bronx Zoo, right? Like you can name some. I'm trying to think of other titles of football books.
They change it, give him the damn ball at the pitching mound. They Shaq like Shaq say, they should just give him the damn ball just like Keyshawn.
Yeah.
Anybody that has a mind realizes, hey, when the dude gets the ball, he's going to ball and do what he's supposed to do. If you asking for the ball and you're not delivering, that's on you. We was 1-15. I'm going to ask for the ball. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of it. You call it what you want to. You call it selfish. You call it whatever. I'm just fascinated by people that have never played with me, don't know me, never really dealt with me. They always got this narrative about who I was as a player. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, by the way, I messed up the title. I said, just throw me the damn ball, talking about how famous it is. And, of course, it's just give me the damn ball.
That's okay, Max. You know what you were saying.
But the point is, like, you're right. I'm trying to think of another player in the NFL who wrote a book where the title is more famous.
Oh, I look forward to this next podcast.
Just give me the damn ball.
Let them be famous on the podcast.
No, there's going to be no response. There's going to be trust and believe. There will be zero response.
If it is or if it isn't. You know me, Jay, I typically don't even get into the tit for tat.
On tomorrow's show.
The fact of the matter is you trying to call me out, I'm going to gut you.
On tomorrow's show, we have to get into how Keyshawn came up with the name. Just give me the damn ball.
You know I do. Look at Jay. You know I love it. I'm here
Keyshawn,
for all the smoke.
Tony Richardson beef. All right, Greeny's coming up. We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Poof.
One name don't belong.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.